Para-X Radio, your source for everything paranormal and beyond.
The views and opinions expressed by the host and its guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X Radio Network, its affiliates, its sponsors, or Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. Paranormal Encounters podcast series is educational, entertaining, and intriguing. Be careful what you wish for.
Careful what you wish for. Ever get that feeling that something might be hanging around?
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. The producer and host of this series is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. She will be joining you shortly. Before we meet Dr. Schutz, let me give you some background about her. She is a published author and academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast, who holds 4 advanced degrees in the area of higher education and applied communications, with a secondary interest in parapsychology and life-after-death issues. Dr. Schutz travels to haunted locations all over the United States and Europe, seeking out situations to investigate. A sensitive intuitive, Dr. Schutz has had numerous experiences with the paranormal since the age of 9, with her most frightening and recent experience being an oval-shaped floor-length mirror cycling around in front of her in a haunted room she had stayed in. She has photographed apparitions in a screened window, been kicked up into the air, been sat on, choked, put into a trance, attacked, and continuously sought out by the unknown who want to share a message with her. From her personal experiences and in interviewing others, she has written nearly 100 illustrated stories in her book series entitled Paranormal Encounters. The Paranormal Encounters podcast series will initiate with Dr. Schutz first discussing a variety of interesting topics, as well as her personal experiences that will evolve into other segments for your interest, enjoyment, and education. Each podcast episode will be approximately 45 minutes long. Dr. Schutz welcomes your questions and comments. How to contact her or ways to order her books will be mentioned at the end of this podcast.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Everyone, and thank you again for joining me for yet another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series as published by Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the producer and the host of this show. Well, tonight I hope you find what I have to present maybe a little bit on the interesting side. I have decided that since I have been doing a little bit more ghost experiencing lately, that we're going to first start out with what I call a haunted report. not every episode, but for this episode tonight especially, I'm going to give you my haunted report. And I think you might find that to be a little bit on the interesting side. And then we're going to go into the main segment tonight, which is going to be on haunted dolls. I've always been very fascinated by haunted objects. And dolls have been known to be the number one most haunted object in the world. That's because they are the most sought after and familiar type of object from our very young age. But I hope that we will both learn something tonight, because I'm going to be presenting information based on other people's experiences and talking a little bit about that as we move through this particular episode this evening. And just a final reminder that if you are interested in viewing any of my books, I do have 8 books currently out on Amazon, and you can also look at them on my website at www.paranormaluniversalpress.com. And also, you can also get into Podomatic that way, and you can listen and download any segment that you might be interested in that I've presented since the day I started podcasting here. So just know you have some interesting segments that are waiting for you to lure you into your interest into the paranormal. Alrighty then, so because I know this is going to get a little windy tonight, I am going to first go to commercial break, and then from that we're going to get into a haunted report, and then from that we're going to finish up with haunted dolls. Stay tuned.
What happens to a ghost when their home is torn down? No one thinks of the disembodied when they rip down old buildings, dig up cemeteries, and build clean, unhauntable condos. Every year, hundreds of spirits are driven out of their own haunts by the careless living to exist alone with no one to scare. At Para-X Radio, our hosts feel the plight of these evicted disembodied, and are reaching out to you to please open your heart to one of these lost souls, such as the ghost soldier of the General Wayne Inn, or the abandoned spirit cat Benjamin Rush. So please, please, let a little spooky into your life. Won't you open your house to a ghost without a home?
Para X.
Hey, this is Lee.
And this is Michelle.
And this is Dustin from the Dead Zone.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para X.
Did I hear somebody come in?
Welcome everyone to a once in a while haunted report as experienced by me. Just to give you a little background of my attempts to investigate, I have been very cautious for quite some time involving myself in what could be dangerous or haunted situations that could potentially put me in danger. And so I pick and choose my battles very carefully. And so oftentimes in my case, though, I really don't have to go looking for it. It usually finds me in some way, and we go from there. And of course, for many of you that may have listened to my segment visiting Zach Bagan's Haunted Museum in Las Vegas, again, I am not endorsing this museum, but I am telling you right straight up, that there is a lot of negative, hostile energy in that building. And, you know, let's hope it stays there for a while and doesn't continue to follow people home. Now, there have been reports about this energy, of course, and I talk about that in following people back to their hotel rooms, including probably myself, due to my experience I had when I was out there. But I've also, again, talked with other individuals who have had reoccurring situations where very, very traumatic. We're talking as much as car accidents and extreme illness and things like that. And I guess the question that we're all wondering about regarding that energy, and it's everywhere, it's not just in that museum, is how on earth does it seem to have the ability to be able to consciously affect people in a way where it can be quite harmful? And, you know, some people would say, oh, this is a demonic energy, or sometimes it doesn't even have to be a demonic energy. It can just be an energy in and of itself trying to capture your attention, and in their way of doing so, their energy doesn't necessarily engage very well with our own. And that's why you hear sometimes of many reports of people feeling nauseous and sick and vomiting and you know, the whole 10 yards on that. I myself have been in that situation to the point of near vomiting and sick. But again, how does one ever really know exactly what we're dealing with? So I had an opportunity to go out to my father's grave, and I thought I would middle-maddle around a little bit, and I always bring my husband with me to most of these situations because he's very, very Christian, and I figure if I have to, if I need him in any way, if something were to happen to me, that I could rely on him to help me. Well, sometimes yes and sometimes no, but we went to see my dad, and most people think that once your loved one is buried and gone, that they do not necessarily go back to their gravesite or go back to that area, or they're, you know, they're just an empty shell lying in the ground, and people, for the sake of grief, they go and they mourn the loss of their loved one, hoping that they can still hear them from the grave. And I am a firm believer that there are some entities that do hang around. Maybe it's because they have no idea where else to go. I don't know. I mean, they lived in this life, so they should have a pretty good idea as to where to go. But sometimes, or if they're following you or they're aware of your presence going to their grave, possibly they may come for a visit. It's hard to say. So I usually bring my ghost equipment with me just to figure out if I can get any spikes or hits or conversation with those that have departed. And I didn't get much at first with my dad. I'm not sure if I really got anything at all, but I did make, there was a hit out there, which I'll explain in a moment, that I found really quite interesting. And it's called Humor Beyond the Grave, and I will get to that in just a moment. What I captured on my dad's grave, though, was a mist coming out of the ground, but I did not see the mist initially when I took the picture. And it was probably a 36 or less degree day, windy, little bit on the nippy side, not raining. It was snowing, and of course the question would ultimately be, did I shoot through a snowflake causing this image to look like a mist coming out of the ground? I'm still studying that image. I'm not 100% convinced it was a snowflake, and so I'm still looking at this from all angles, but I found that to be a little bit interesting. When I went over to visit my other relatives, and I always make it a point to visit those that I feel I can reach out to, I was standing at my great-grandfather's grave, and I was kind of just talking to him. Now, he's been gone 75 years, so he doesn't know me from schmott, you know? Back in that day, too, when they came over on the boat from Norway, he would probably have had some type of Norwegian language, you know, at least dialect, going on at that time, too. So to talk to somebody who only spoke Norwegian or German or whatever, oftentimes they may not even understand what you're saying. But I like to visit with them because, and of course, his father, who is my great-great-grandfather, just because of the circumstances surrounding their lives, the, you know, the childhood property where my dad is was a third generation of it. We are currently fourth generation, and et cetera. So I'm standing over my great-grandfather's grave, and I'm just chatting away, and I'm looking around and not noticing anything unusual and all that, and not feeling anything unusual, except I had asked the question, is there anything you need of me? I asked that question, is there anything you need of me? And would you know that the response that came from him or somebody standing nearby him or whatnot said, a massage. Okay, now think about this just for a moment. That kind of took me back a little. A massage? What do you need from me? I need a massage. Okay, here's the humor of my family. They're lying in the ground. They're stiff, and they could probably use a good massage. Okay, fine. Don't know offhand if it was anything else, but, you know, I took that as a sense of humor for the situation and the conditions, obviously, and I found it to be quite a compelling word. So I wished them all goodbye and said goodbye and went down to the father's childhood home, which is the home originally built by my great-grandfather. And so, you know, fourth generation now having to deal with a property. Basically, we went on the grounds. Now, keep in mind that this property is very haunted. It has a lot of history. It's been there for well over 100 plus years. It's dilapidated. It's basically, you know, it's in the condition of which they all lived years ago. But unfortunately, it's in sad condition now. So what do you do about that? Well, not much. I do know that when I go on that property, I have to err with caution, because I do know that if there's something floating around on that property, it will come to me. So one of the things that issues or something that happened occurred while I was on the property this time around. I've always been told, because I deal with a lot of very good psychics who have actually been very accurate with a lot of things. And I was told a long time ago that the barn is particularly haunted because there's something that wants to reside up in the hayloft. Well, you have to remember that a lot of times when entities are residing at places, they are residing at places of comfort most of the time. And they don't like people entering their territory or feeling threatened by someone possibly entering their territory. So that's why they like to hang around in attics and basements, places where people aren't constantly, you know, moving around. And it's dark and it's subdued and it's, you know, it sometimes has moisture, which also is a factor for manifestation. I mean, there's all kinds of things that go along with this. So when my husband and I were roaming around the property, of course, I erred to caution and even going into the barn because, again, it's in a very bad shape. I don't need the thing falling on top of me. But I was shooting some pictures in there. I only probably walked in 4 feet and then turned around, walked out. I did capture something in there, and I'm still trying to analyze and explain it, and I haven't been back to the property to do a double check as to what I was looking at. What I captured was I shot an image through one of the barn windows, and the first time I shot in the exact same location, it was just like shooting into a dark window. Okay, you had the window frame, and then when you're looking inside of it, it's not capturing anything. It's just darkness. Now that one I do need to blow up on my laptop, and I need to determine whether or not there was a dark shadow figure standing in front of potentially a window that could have been on the opposite, on the other side of the barn where I was shooting, because in the next frame there was a very bright, it was square. That's what leads me to believe, like, I'm not sure why one moment I'm shooting nothing and then the next moment I'm shooting what appears to be something in the background that is very, very bright and square. And I have to question if it was a window. But if that were the case, then the question is, was there something standing in front of it blocking that window, and that's why it was so dark? So I need to blow that picture up. Let's see, what else happened while I was there? I didn't go into the house. The house is actually a very, very bad health risk and also very dangerous. It's rotting. And in all places, so you have to be very, very careful. I did shoot around the property to see if there was anything that, stood out. But ultimately, as my husband and I were entering the property and I had my intelligence or my ghost app on, it did tell us to wait. And I looked at my husband and we both stopped dead in our tracks. And I said, why does something want us to wait? And that aired to caution right there. The other thing that happened while I was outside of the barn was that I was told by a psychic a long time ago that somebody from a military background who didn't necessarily live on the property per se was residing in the hayloft. And so all of a sudden I was getting military, I was getting fort, I was getting everything related, words related to army or military, something of that sort, where they were attempting to tell me of their experience, but I was basically disregarding it because it didn't hit me until afterwards that this was probably the entity that was spoken about. And the other thing too is that my grandfather's brother was in the army, and I stood right next to him while at the cemetery while speaking to his father. And so it could possibly be him as a family member. It is really hard to tell who's hanging around where and who they are, or if they even belonged to the property of the past. This gentleman did live into a very old age. He did not have children, and he lived probably a mile down the road on his own farm. But when people do pass away and they want to go back to places of comfort within a mile to 2 mile radius around a particular location, people, entities may come back just to find that place as a place of comfort. So there was no surprise there. It could have been him. He could have been the one all along that the psychic was talking about. So the occurrences, so I felt like it was a real positive ghost day. It was interesting. It was very calm. One thing I find about that property is that it's almost too calm. And, you're on other properties and there's at least a little bit going on. This one, there's just something very eerie about it, because if you do hang out there long enough, you're going to feel this real sense of quiet. And, that's not always, that's not always a sign that it's haunted, but it can be a sign of something. I mean, I do remember about a year ago in March, I was shooting, photographing the front yard of this property, and I had an orb shower come at me, and it just so happens they were coming at me from the barn. And I could tell that, and I could tell within the sequence of how I shot the photographs, and they were like one right after the other, that they were getting closer and closer to me. And then I had just a tremendous shower of orbs all around me and near me. And then even as we were leaving the property, these orbs were still hanging about by the front steps of that house. And so that picture is in one of my books, but I found that to be very interesting. So that is my most recent haunted report as experienced by me. I felt that, those loved ones of ours that have passed on can still have a sense of humor beyond the grave. I have found that some of them are still wanting to tell you about themselves and their life from beyond the grave. And so those connections made that day made perfect sense to me. And again, the humor, it would be something probably definitely that would have come from my family. But who expressed they needed a massage and who was the person trying to tell me about their military experience? Chances are likely it was probably family members. All right, here ends this little segment of the Haunted Report. And in just a moment, we'll get into the main segment this evening, which will be on haunted dolls. Stay tuned. This segment is on haunted dolls. This is the educational portion of the program. According to research, a haunted doll is either a handmade or manufactured doll, or it could be even a stuffed animal that is reported to be cursed or possessed in some way. The earliest report of a haunted doll goes back to ancient Egypt, where the enemies of Ramses III attempted to use wax images of likenesses of those they wanted to bring about death to. The dolls were used in these rituals. They were said to be of the living and that they would curse anyone who bore their resemblance. And so in ancient Egyptian times, one would say that voodoo dolls were often said to be cursed because of their long history of being used to place curses or bad will onto people, as well as the association of them with the occult. So when you look at the early history of all of this, most of them believed back then in their civilization that these dolls and what they were doing with them had mystical purposes, and often they were associated with the occult, but they were used quite often, especially when trying to connect with or gain the assistance from a god or a goddess to help them, of course, in their mission. And so they're often used also in ceremonial purposes and also to rid the body of evil, or to place curses on those that went against the will of the gods. All right, so when you look at what's happening today with these dolls, we know what happened back then, but the question, of course, about dolls in this day and age is, how on earth have they or were they able to absorb this energy? Because it's not the soul of the person that goes inside this doll. It's the energy of that person that somehow engulfs this object or this doll. And a lot of people think that the reason why dolls are very popular as compared to other objects, and other objects can also pick up the energies from people, such as anything that has the right type of wood can often absorb oils from the fingers or the hands. Clothing can be charged. If you dye tragically, especially in a piece of clothing. That piece of clothing could literally be charged with your energy. There's many, many different types of objects that people are not aware of that often can have something negative or a negative essence attached to it. One of the things, though, if you were to look on eBay, you would find probably nearly 500, 600, 700 dolls on there proclaiming, someone proclaiming them to be haunted. And how do you proclaim something to be haunted? Simply by the fact that some very odd things are happening in your home. And sometimes not necessarily positive things happening in your home. I get a little leery sometimes when I go to auctions, especially estate auctions. I find objects to be absolutely fascinating. I mean, this object has a history. It goes back a long way. Somebody created it. Someone masterminded it and came up with it. But then some of these objects hold this energy within them. And it has also been said or stated that sometimes these objects don't come to life unless the right combination of your energy and that energy somehow make a very unusual connection. So just because you bring home what might be a haunted image or haunted object, you have to understand too that not everybody will ignite that object. But when you're thinking about dolls and the number of dolls that are created and are still created to this day, they are in the likeness, of course, of a human being. And a human being has a consciousness and a soul. And once the person dies, supposedly, the astral cord is broken. And so, therefore, that body is an empty shell. Well, a doll can also be an empty shell. But interestingly enough, it's also a vessel for some of this negative or negatively possessed type spirit that may be hanging all over it. So let's talk some dolls here and see if I can give you some interesting background on some of them. There are many, many, many dolls that are known to be cursed. If you were, again, let's start with eBay. If you go to eBay and you put in haunted dolls, you will see the vast number of them on there. But let's go one step further. How do we know that what we're purchasing, if we really want a haunted doll, is truly haunted? Well, I suppose the gamble you take is that you buy it and you see what ignites it or what happens with it. There's one particular person that seems to sell an awful lot of haunted dolls on eBay. And she claims that her daughter actually can speak to these spirits that are attached to these dolls who come from all kinds of situations. And we're talking, some of them are very tragic to very sad. And of course, you have to disclaim on there that you can't guarantee that anything is haunted because, of course, nobody can truly prove that. However, I would like you to go to eBay and take a look at some of the descriptions that some people do write about these haunted dolls that they're trying to sell on eBay. But let's go back to some of the research I've found on the system for the moment in the internet, and to see what I can find here regarding some of these haunted dolls. The most haunted doll, although this one probably has a tie with some of the other dolls, of course, is this one known to be Robert the Doll. And Robert the Doll is currently on display at, it looks like, East Martello Museum in Key West, Florida. And there's an entire article that I'm going to get into on Robert the Doll in just a few minutes, and just pointing out some of the interesting things about this doll and what happens when essentially you cross its path in a bad way. And this one is alleged to be possessed by spirits and was also the inspiration of Chucky, the doll, in the 1988 horror film Child's Play. So why don't we just talk a little bit about Robert the Doll. I'm not going to go into too much here. You can even look him up on the system and you will find quite a bit of information. In fact, I'm not sure if there's a book written about Robert the Doll, but let's see here. So here's an article. This one is by something called Atlas Obscura, dated in 2015. And Robert the Doll, most of them say that they would agree that this doll is very, very terrifying. And it's a doll that's nearly lifelike, that is dressed in a little sailor suit and sailor outfit that was once worn by its owner. And its face is rather worn down, and it has a lot of brown nicks and scars on it, and his eyes are very beady and black. Compared to some of the other dolls, their eyes don't necessarily have to be black eyes. And so let's take a look here. Robert is currently, well, be older than this, 111 years old. So if this was in 2015 and we're 4 years past, this doll would be about 115 years old to this day. And before he was the property of this Robert Otto, who was an eccentric artist and member of a prominent family, the boy answered to Jean Doll, and the owner had the same name. Oh, that's interesting, but answered to Jean. Robert was a childhood birthday gift from Otto's grandfather, who bought the doll during a trip to Germany and hung on to this doll into adulthood. And there was a very unhealthy relationship of this person who owned this doll, and this person would talk with this doll as if it were a real live human being. And of course, let's see, after digging into the toy maker who manufactured this doll, I think it looks like the intentions was to never have it be sold as a toy. In fact, just something that would be for a window display. But it ended up in the hands of this gentleman or young man who treated it like a toy, but more than a toy, like a real buddy or human being. Let's see. Then mishaps began. And of course, at first, when all these odd things were occurring, they were laughed off and not believed because, you know, people, again, are very skeptical about the paranormal, though it was. But sometimes school children would go by this one, I don't know if it's where it's located or where it used to be, and they would actually see Robert the Doll positioned in one window, and then they would swear that it would reappear at another. And then after the artist died, visitors swore that they heard footsteps in the attic and giggling, and that Robert's expression had changed when anyone badmouthed Otto in its presence. And so Robert would move around the house on its own and do antics. And again, after all that, it was donated to this museum in 1994. But again, one of the biggest things about, so people flock to this museum to look at this toy or this doll. But once again, if they were to say anything negative about it or in any what way, really bad things would happen to these people. And so this doll literally gets about 1 to 3 letters every day, but it's from people who are offering their apologies and asking for forgiveness because for openly disrespecting this doll. And of course, because of that, they just wanted the hex of Robert to go off of them. And then this doll has apparently received thousands and thousands of letters. One of the things that this Robert the Doll also receives, it looks like, is when people go there or they leave, they send him candy. And so sometimes a box of peppermints, a card, and no return address, just making sure that, you know, nothing's led back to them. But guests do give the doll sweets, money, and sometimes, believe it or not, occasional marijuana joints, okay? Whatever. Even though it's completely inappropriate, they would have to remind people that they're still a museum and that there is someone who's obviously watching out over this doll. And let's see what else it says here that might be real interesting. Let's see. That's essentially it. Just basically in a nutshell, Robert also has 9,000 Facebook likes. And, of course, because of that, this museum has become more popular. So, one thing about Robert the Doll is when you're around, and like when I was in Zach Bagans Museum, Haunted Museum, and I was in the Peggy Room, it was really, really, really tough for me to stand there with the door shut behind our bodies, really tight quarters, while, you know, we had about anywhere from 15 to 20 people standing in a group. Well, no, I take that back, because we were only let in at 12 at a time. So anywhere from maybe 10 to 12, and that was tight quarters the way it was. And it's really tough, because if something has an energy on it, and it can literally hurt you, the last thing you want to do is think anything negative about this thing, you know. And again, who is this energy? What is this energy? Again, on Robert the Doll, basically the things that made it stand out: its ability to move about, change its facial expressions, giggle, and of course cause harm to people who are disrespectful to it. I'm not even going to say it's a him, because it may be an it, okay? Another one here that is reported is, and I'm getting a cold draft all over me as I speak. I am in the presence of something right now, and I don't mean to put that in this podcast, but I might as well tell you about it. Something is with me right now in my room. It's swirling underneath my feet and had just brushed up against my right shoulder. And sometimes I get this happening to me during different parts of the day when I'm working on my computer. But I'm looking at the curtain, and there's absolutely no movement of the curtain. There's no movement of anything that can move in here, and it is gone now. But that's very strange that it just happened as I'm trying to give a segment on this. So I guess I'm going to have to do some kind of a protection prayer once this is over with, so I can go to sleep tonight. I hate to sleep with the lights on, but you know what? Something like this makes you want to. Annabelle is another known doll that is a Raggedy Ann doll, alleged by Ed and Lorraine Warren to be haunted and displayed at the Warren's Occult Museum in Monroe, Connecticut. This doll had an inspiration for the films The Conjuring and Annabelle. Now, I don't know too much about Annabelle, but it's a Raggedy Ann doll. But again, when we're talking dolls here, we're talking negative energies that somehow charged these objects from their previous owners. But interestingly enough, I haven't really heard of too many dolls that if you have this doll, it becomes like your good luck doll. It seems like a lot of these dolls have negative, bad energies about them. Here's another one. This one's from Australia. Letta the Doll. Brisbane, Australia, has appeared on a number of television shows with a doll he claims to have found. This person has claims to have found while visiting an abandoned building in 1972, and he named the doll Let Me Out, because it supposedly has supernatural characteristics. And again, I'm sure that they all have a long story on the internet, but I have not grabbed those stories for you. I'm just reporting different dolls at this point. Voodoo zombie doll. Claimed to be almost alive and very active, made in New Orleans and sold on eBay to a woman in Texas in 2004. Papa, a doll that contains the spirit of a dead Italian girl. Mandy, made in England or Germany between 1910 and 1920. Mandy is a porcelain baby doll donated to the, Quesnel Museum in British Columbia in 1991, also said to have supernatural powers. And then there's this really interesting one that's a Barbie doll. Interestingly enough about this Barbie doll is I don't think it was an actual Barbie doll. I think it was a want-to-be Barbie doll. And then if I recall its image correctly, it had a very bushy gray hair. I don't know. Interesting. I'm pulling another article in front of me. It's called Ruby the Haunted Doll. And it's your typical doll that you see from probably the early 1900s where its eyes, you know how they move up and down, they can move up and down when rattled or shaken? Okay, and so what is it about this doll? Ruby spent decades in attics and basements. Owners were too uncomfortable to keep the doll on display. She can move herself from room to room, but whenever picked up, her touch seemed to induce feelings of intense sadness and in some cases nausea. And the previous owners believed that Ruby is still to be one of their ancestors, a young girl who allegedly passed away while actually holding this doll. She was donated to in the care of a museum where hundreds of visitors have experienced the same feelings of overwhelming sadness and nausea which emits from this doll. Okay, I want to look at another one here. I've got two more. Well, I got actually two, three more. Charlie the Haunted Doll. This one was written, I believe this is from Beverly, Massachusetts, rumored to have tormented a family in the late 1960s. This toy now resides in a quiet little oddity shop. So what's the deal about Charlie? In 1968, a peculiar doll was discovered in the attic of an old Victorian home in upstate New York, found in the bottom of a tattered trunk full of newspaper. The only other item with it was a yellowed piece of paper containing the Lord's Prayer. The old newspaper used to pack the trunk had dates on it going back to the early 1930s, but the actual age of the doll could not be determined. So let's see here what they say about this doll. The person who collected this doll wanted it because it added nicely to their collection. The parents were quick to blame their five mischievous children when things were happening about in the residence, but the children all maintained they knew nothing about how the doll had moved. And then when the youngest, who was four, made a startling statement, Charlie had spoken to her when she got up to use the bathroom in the middle of the night. Of course, the parents blamed the child as having a wild imagination. And then, of course, even though the parents never witnessed Charlie doing anything, the children soon became fixated on the doll and were terrified of it. And all five of them refused to get up during the night to go to the bathroom because the doll resided like 5 feet from where they were at. And essentially, it looked like one of the youngest was covered in scratches and insisted they weren't from their cat, but from Charlie. And so the truth was never discovered. And to end the chaos, they took the doll back to the attic, locked him in the trunk he was found in, and then things soon returned to normal and the doll had been forgotten about. Years later, once the children grew up, the house was sold and the trunk was removed from the attic to be sold at a garage sale. The doll remained as one of the last things to go, and then finally a woman bought the doll to add to her antique doll collection. And then the doll has changed hands since then a few more times, and its story has followed it. It's been rumored to still move from time to time, but its ghostly power seems to be mainly unlocked by children. So, let's see, where is it now? Some local artisan sits amongst some taxidermy animals, unusual art, and oddities where it can be viewed by the public. So that, of course, lends itself, but we go right back again to the imagination of children. You know, things they watch and make them fearful of, things that go bump in the night. But in this particular case, when you have five children upset about an object and they're all very, very obviously upset, you can't help but wonder what's going on. The next article is from the New Yorker. It says, this is the title of it, On eBay, A Fantastical Earnest World of Haunted Dolls. And so this article was written in 2017, so not too long ago. It talks about how, you know, this person first started cruising the haunted doll listings on the internet, and then all of a sudden finds that on eBay there's just hundreds of proclaimed to be haunted dolls. Catherine said, I would initially click on eBay the dirty, slumped over, grotesque looking dolls, but soon discovered that once you've seen one cracked porcelain face with dead-eyed pout, you've seen them all. But instead, what it is that interests her is it's the seller's storytelling that actually provides the interest in all of this. And so even though she says a doll is just a doll, but a haunted doll requires proof, or at least enough of it to back the you know, story of the seller, of course. And then if by chance this ends up being a haunted doll, someone that may have been murdered holding the doll, or died terribly holding the doll, or whatever the case may be, the question ultimately goes into, of course, how on earth does this doll, you know, collect this energy all over it, and that the soul doesn't seem to be allowed to move on per se, but yet is now stuck on this doll. This is just talking about, buyer beware. And especially in two ways. One, a person making an account that the doll is haunted. Two, what do you do when you actually find out that it really is haunted? And then what on earth do you do then? And what have you done to yourself? So people have a tendency to steer clear of certain things, especially in antique stores. And when I go in and I see a doll sitting there or whatnot, I usually think twice. Let me quickly touch upon the haunted doll on my parents' property that was discovered in the dirt with its face up, and no one seemed to claim this doll or remember this doll as being part of the family. And again, the doll that was on my parents' property was found face up, very gray hair. Of course, over time, that's what can happen to hair, but still very, very piercing blue eyes, which is very interesting considering the whole doll was worn out, except for the eyes. And anyway, there were a lot of things that were kind of happening on this property, but yet being blamed on other things. And then this doll shows up. And to make a long story short, because of course we're running out of time, some of my family members started doing practical jokes with the doll, which is the last thing you want to do, unless the doll liked it, of course. But I don't think being tied to a stake is something a doll would like, and I'm meaning upside down, you know. And so all of this stuff was going on with them and this doll, and I decided one day it was time to put this doll to rest and get rid of the doll because obviously it wasn't doing anybody any good and it was being the butt of jokes and all that. But several things happened after I took the doll, and I took the doll far, far away, over 130 miles away, actually. The minute I put the doll into a black black garbage bag, wrapped it, said a prayer on it, and essentially, in a nutshell, removed it from the property. What had happened afterwards, like boom, 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 one of my siblings' dogs was run over, hit on the road. Now, most people would say that's coincidence. But then also a family member's parent passed away from cancer, but they weren't necessarily known to have gone that quickly. That's what I'm trying to say. Another family member's daughter's, her car wrecks on the highway. And then, of course, in my case, I discovered I had cancer. I'm okay now. It was removed, and I am cancer-free. But let's just say these four things happened in a roll, boom, 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 boom. To this day, nobody else in my family yet has had any diagnosis of anything horrible happening to them, especially cancer. And so in my particular case, all of these situations could have been merely coincidental. But of course, how do we ever really know what is coincidence anymore and what is not, especially when you're in the presence of something that has been charged with some type of energy that will not go away. Well, I hope this gave you a little bit of a taste of this phenomenon involving dolls, and especially what goes along with that is how they seem to be the most haunted item in the world. Now, this doesn't mean that you should not purchase a stuffed animal, a doll, or any kind of an object for your loved ones. This is just a situation of where when somebody is involved in, it could be a murder, it could be involved in a accidental death, it could be a suicide, it could be extreme illness, it could be just about anything, where and how their energy chooses to stick to the closest object that could be in their presence or around them or whatever. And so I think that if you do go to Zach Bagan's Haunted Museum or any of these museums that dabble into the occult and some paranormal and also have dolls on display, that you will find that they are, most of them should be, encased in glass or have glass in front of them. And that doesn't necessarily mean that that holds back their energy. Some of them have been known. There is a place in Nebraska where this one haunted doll somehow seems to get out of this glass structure and starts crawling across the floor while people are away, whether it's in the other room or whatnot, and then they find this doll has escaped. It's like a little escape artist. And I can't recall the town, but there is a place in Nebraska that has a haunted museum as well, and they talk very much about this doll, but also objects as well. And we are all very fascinated to some degree with just the paranormal in general, those of us who at least believe in it. And secondly, of course, the next thing is how is this energy staying around or sticking around or ending up being charged into an object? Why doesn't the energy after a while just decide to release itself from the object and go somewhere else? Something we'll never, ever really know. Thank you very much for listening to Paranormal Encounters podcast series, and I hope to continue to bring you interesting segments as we move along into this year. Thank you and good night.